Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee here talking about the heroes of faith. We're going from Genesis to Revelation, talking about all the people of the Bible. And there was a story from Genesis to Revelation. It was in your Old Testament. It's about that mankind needed help, and they're looking for a Messiah. So the entire Old Testament really is about Jesus. It's about stories telling him coming. It's about the 400 prophecies that were in there, about where he would be born, why he'd be born, how he'd be born, about the star, about the wise men, about the shepherds. It was all prophesied long before it ever happened. So that's the Old Testament. And then the New Testament, like I said, the Old Testament covers thousands of years. Genesis alone covers 2,500 years. The New Testament, the entire New Testament, covers 70 years. So he got right to the point in a hurry. So this is about today. We're going to talk about somebody that sells their birthright. Now, what is a birthright? Well, you know, most families, the eldest usually got double. In the Old Testament, they got double because the eldest son would take the father's place if the father passed away. So the eldest son will be responsible for the orphans and the widows and the poor people of his tribe. So he got a double portion of an inheritance in order to take care of the other people. And so that's kind of like where the backdrop is of this. So it's going to start off in Genesis 25. It's about Isaac has his two boys, Esau and Jacob, and they're battling from day one. Even in the womb, they were wrestling one another, the Bible says. So in Genesis 25, starting in verse 19, said, after some years, twin sons were born to Rebekah and Isaac. You know, Isaac finally looked for a wife, and Eliezer went to the foreign country and found her and brought her back. And so it was an incredible marriage. One of the boys born was Esau. He was redheaded, and he was hairy. Isaac loved Esau. Man, I got myself a man's man. The younger twin was Jacob. He was not at all like his brother. He'd like to stay around the house and the tents, you know, and Jacob and his mother. And he was a favorite of his mom. He's a mama's boy. So what do you got? Well, you got Jacob, a mama's boy, Esau, a daddy's boy. So there's a rivalry already starting out, you know, from the very beginning. So it says this. In those lands, when a father died, the oldest son received twice as much of the property as did any other children. This double portion was called the birthright. Because Esau was the oldest son, he was to receive the birthright, not Jacob. One day, when Esau came home from work in the field, he was very hungry. Jacob had been cooking, and the air meant it felt good. He said, boy, I don't know what you're cooking, but it smells good. And so food had never smelled so good to Esau. He felt weak, and he was hungry from hunting been gone all day long. He said, Jacob, talking to his younger brother, give me some of that red pottage. Man, for I'm just weak. I am so hungry. Jacob answered, well, I'll give it all to you if you'll sell me your birthright for this food. Esau was hungrier than ever. He said, look, he cared more about getting something to eat than he did about his birthright. What's good as a birthright to me if I die of hunger? Esau wondered. So he sold his birthright for something to eat. Later, Esau was very sorry for what he had done. Now in Genesis 26, it kind of picks up. Now Isaac grew even richer and more powerful, the father. Dad, he's loaded. Herds increased, cattle increased, crops increased. Man, this guy's loaded. He made his Philistine neighbors so jealous. He was so wealthy. They didn't want anybody richer, more powerful than they were. Of course, the Philistines knew that Isaac didn't have water for his cattle, and his crops would fail, and they would all die, and they wouldn't be able to keep up. So they filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. And that's a great story, just this alone. You got a whole chapter about it. So they came to Abimelech, leader of the Philistines, and they brought him to Isaac and said, hey, listen, you need to move away from us. And he's talking to Isaac. You got your two boys. Things are going good. You're filthy, stinking rich. We want you to move out of the neighborhood. We don't like you. Your house is too big. You got too many cattle. You got the best of everything. Got the best looking wife. We want you to leave. We don't like people doing better than us. We want you to leave. Well, it would have been really easy for Isaac, you know, to stand on his rights and show the Philistines his power, but Isaac believed in peace. It was more important than getting his way. So he took his cattle and his sheep and his goods and his servants, and he set up camp down the valley of Gerar. Isaac called his servants to him and said, "Hey, in this valley are wells that my father had dug, but the Philistines have stopped them all up. Find them, dig them up, get the water." And they did. So, just as Isaac had done with servants, found an old well, they dug up the old wells, moved the dirt, and they got water again. But things didn't go well. The herdsmen of Gerar argued and fought with Isaac's herdsmen. "This water's ours," because they didn't know where those wells were, because they were Abraham's wells. He had dug when he came through years before. And Isaac said, "Hey, I know where my daddy's wells are. We'll open them back up." So he's blessed. Everything he's touching is turning to gold, basically, would be a phrase that we would use today. So the fighting did not last long after Isaac heard about the trouble, calling his servants, said, "Listen, let's find another of my father's wells." So they packed up, moved the cattle, moved their sheep, moved everything down the valley again, and they opened up the other wells. Maybe the servants didn't like the idea of looking for and digging another well, but they obeyed. The sound of God called a place of sitna, which means place of contention. Surely there would be no more trouble this time. But again, the herdsmen fought about who owned the water. A third time, Isaac and his company moved and dug another well. This time there was no trouble over the water. And I said, "Well, this well should be called Rehoboth, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in this land." That night the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "I am the Lord your God. I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bless you. I will multiply your children for my servant Abraham's sake." How Isaac must have rejoiced. "Oh, man, that's great. I got me a good word. God spoke to me." Soon thereafter, Isaac had a reason for joy and thanksgiving. Two visitors showed up one day. They come outside the tent and said, "Hey, you got to come here. We got some visitors." So Isaac comes outside the tent. Well, it's Abimelech, the heathen king that's run him off of his country three different times, and the leader of the Philistines, and this chief captain. So you got your military general. You got the two kings of the heathen nations that don't like you. They're standing outside the tent. He said, "What do you want? What are you doing here? I know you hate me. You've sent me away. What do you want?" Abimelech answered, "So we know that the Lord God is with you. We want to make a peace treaty." Isaac agreed, for he knew that the hatred and fighting would never settle any differences. So Isaac became known throughout the land as one who lived peaceably and followed God's ways. So what's going on? Well, he's a blessed man. Everything he touches turns to gold. We've heard that. I've heard it my whole life. Everything you touch turns to gold. What does that mean? Well, they're just blessed. And then some people use this term. Well, you're just lucky. And so my whole life, when I taught high school kids, there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as bad luck. There's no such thing as good luck. There is no luck. But luck does not exist. It's not a real word. You and I live on a planet where Satan is the temporary god of this planet. He steals, he kills, and destroys. If something's going on, it's either God or it's the devil. There is no in-between. There's no place where you're waiting in a waiting room. "Well, I'm waiting to see if I'm going to be blessed. I'm waiting to see if I'm going to be cursed. I'm just waiting." No, you're not waiting. Nobody's waiting. God loves you. The devil hates you. God bless you. The devil steals from you. There's two kingdoms. They're at war with one another. We're in between like an Oreo cookie, you know. And so what are you doing? Well, I'm chasing God. I'm living on an alien planet, but Satan may be the god of this planet, but he's not my God. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear son. So I'm living every day, paying my bills, working, taking care of my family, my kids, my grandkids. What are you doing? I'm living a blessed life. God promised, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everything I set my hand to is going to prosper. They're living in a desert in a time of drought. You understand some? Isaac is living in the Gaza Strip, as you know it today. Look at your map. Isaac's living in the Gaza Strip. It's a desert. But he keeps finding water. There's no water in the desert unless you got a well somewhere. Well, he keeps finding wells that his father had dug. So every time they filled up a well, he'd just dig a better one. They'd fill that up, and he'd dig a better one. They'd fill that up, and he'd dig a better one. He keeps dealing. And finally, they came to him, "Listen, Don't dig anymore. We obviously understand you are blessed. You're just blessed. You're just lucky. Everything you touch turns to gold." All the phrases they probably use in their language. "We want you to make a peace treaty with us and promise you won't hurt us." And he probably thought, "Hurt you? I've been running from you for weeks. You keep filling up my wells up with dirt." Yeah, but we noticed every time we fill a well up with dirt, you dig a better one. Then we fill that up with dirt. and you dug a better one. We filled that up with dirt, you dug a better one. Obviously, God is with you. And we don't want God mad at us. Just promise you'll make a treaty with us and promise you won't hurt us. And so he did. So they killed a fatted calf and put the thing on the grill, visited all day, ate some good beef, and made a promise to not hurt each other. And then they left. And so this is the inheritance of Jacob. He's inherited his father's blessing. So Jacob's got, it's like he knows this thing's coming down the family line. The problem is he's got an older brother named Esau. And so in Genesis 27, Isaac lived at Beersheba until he became an old man and he's blind. Because Isaac thought he would soon die, he wanted to give the birthright and his blessing to his oldest son Esau, the redhead. So he called Esau and said, "Son, take your bow and arrow and go out in the woods and shoot me a good deer. And then bring me some delicious venison and you can prepare it. And after I've eaten, I'll lay my hands on you and I'll bless you. And then I'll die." And so that's what he did. Well, in the meantime, mom knows something's going on. Sweet. Mom takes Jacob in and says, "Listen, here's what's going on. Your dad can't see diddly anyhow. So what's going to do? I'm going to fix some meat for him. Then I'm going to take you and come back here in the tent." And she took some dead goat skins and wrapped his arms and wrapped his legs and wrapped them around his neck. And she made him really smelly. Smelled like an old dead goat. Smelled like the older brother Esau. And so Esau's out hunting for deer. Been gone for a while. But all of a sudden, Jacob comes in the tent. And he says, "Father, I'm back." He says, "Man, that didn't take long. Come on over here." And so he's bringing in the venison and the meat. And says, "Man, that smells good." And all of a sudden, Dad says, "Man, you don't sound like Esau. Come over here and let me touch you." So the old guy, Isaac, reaches out and touches Jacob's arms, thinking, "Is that Esau or is that Jacob?" But when he feels the hair and he smells the smell, "Oh, yeah, that's you, Esau. You're that hairy, smelly thing." So when he finishes eating, he brought him over and he laid hands on Jacob, thinking it's Esau, and he blessed him. And then all of a sudden, Jacob leaves the tent. Esau shows back up and says, "Hey, Dad, I got some great deer meat." He said, "What are you talking about? I just ate my deer meat." "No, you didn't. I just now brought it back." "Then who just fed me?" And then all of a sudden he realizes the sons tricked him. "My younger sons tricked me." And so all of a sudden Esau says, "Well, you got to bless me." He says, "Son, I've given the blessing. This isn't a birthday party. I'm just not laying hands with everybody. I'll pass the blessing on to your younger brother." And so Jacob and Esau were at war from that day on, always fighting one another. What happened? Well, mama pulled a secondhand deal and got Dad to lay hands on the other son. But the blessing was very real. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob was a blessed individual. And so we're going to pick up next time and find out all the things that happened with Jacob, his life, his children, his grandchildren. The blessing of Abraham is now ours. As a Gentile that's been grafted into the family, I'm as blessed as Abraham. I'm as blessed as Isaac. I'm as blessed as Jacob. The blessings of Abraham have come on me as a Gentile because of Jesus Christ. I've now been grafted into the family, and all the blessings are yes and amen, and they belong to me. So as a believer out there, if you listen, you got to realize something. You're blessed, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob. We've been grafted now into the family because of Jesus. We're now part of the family line. We're blessed and highly favored. Everything we set our hand to is promised by God to prosper. So let's start believing God, guys. Let's see great things happen. God bless. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.